Real families, real farms, real food. Welcome to Arizona Agriculture Connection with Maricopa County Farm Bureau. My name is Nicole Clements, Executive Director, and I'll be your host. Maricopa County Farm Bureau is the voice of agriculture in a community that thrives on the dichotomy of urban and rural agriculture operations. This podcast is a home for farmers, ranchers, food lovers, prospective agriculturalists, and those looking to connect the food on their plate with the farm that it came from. As we take an inside look at agriculture in Arizona, we will delve into topics like ag technology, policy, food preparation, and everything in between. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform with new episodes every Wednesday. Arizona Agriculture Connection is hosted by Maricopa County Farm Bureau and sponsored by Paloma Ready Mix and Materials, a proud supporter of agriculture and our communities. Be sure to subscribe and share your favorite episodes with your friends. For more interactions, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, at Maricopa County FB. Now let's discover some Arizona agriculture. Welcome back to Arizona Agriculture Connection. We have a special episode for you this week as we are approaching the annual Summer Agricultural Conference. We are revisiting our conversation from last year with Arizona Farm Service Agency Director Sina Kerr. This invaluable episode is just a peek of the information and opportunity available at this event. With half a day Thursday and a full conference day on Friday, we're excited to share our keynote speaker this year is Sierra Anthony of Butcher Solutions. She will be providing a demonstration along with her keynote, and there's also even a chance to win the meat from her cutting demonstration. The fun starts tomorrow, but there's still time to register. Visit azfb.org/events to find the registration, and we will see you there. Welcome, everybody, to a very special edition live from the Summer Leadership Conference of Arizona Agriculture Connection. I'm here with former Senator and current Executive Director of the Arizona Farm Service Agency, Sina Kerr. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you, Nicole, for having me, and it's always wonderful to be back at the Women's Leadership Conference. And seeing every, I'm just now getting to look out and see everybody going, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get down there and give everyone a hug. So thank you so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I know you're extremely busy, especially in a new role, but I think this is a great opportunity to chat a little bit about your journey and what that looked like through agriculture, through advocacy, and then kind of what your role looks like now and how that has changed a lot. So, just to kick it off, a little bit about your background, kind of where did your story start? How did you get started with this advocacy journey? Because you've been, honestly, just a great role model about using your voice for agriculture and to help educate people.
Yeah, well, thank you. So, you know, I didn't grow up in a farm family and no agriculture background at all. But when my dad retired from the Army, he moved us to Buckeye. And there's no better place to get introduced to agriculture. And so, you know, I'd go play on the weekends at my friends' homes, and they either have farms or ranches. And so that's where I learned to fall in love with agriculture. It was such a cool way of life, and it was really awesome that, you know, you could see Dad and Mom out working. And sometimes, you know, we went out and helped with the different chores and things. And so that's where I started dreaming that, you know, hopefully someday I would marry a farmer, I would get to live on a farm and do and have this amazing, cool life. And so it just happened that I met a really awesome third-generation dairy farmer in high school. And at first I didn't know if he was even a farmer. He played such good basketball that that's what I'm moving for, and I was a pom-pom. And so anyway, we started dating and then ended up getting engaged right out of high school and married and started our own dairy herd back then with just 15 cows. And then we just started growing everything, our herd and our family.
You really manifested that into reality. And as someone who also grew up on a farm and recently just went back home to visit, you know, where I grew up, and I was in the Missouri humidity, dripping in sweat, really hot, picking sweet corn out of the patch, I thought, you know, I spend a lot of time at the computer and in the truck and, you know, in a lot of different places that aren't on the farm for my job. And it's sometimes the jobs that you used to dislike the most that you really miss the most when you don't have them. So that's what I was just repeating to myself as I was sitting and it was in 100 degrees and 80% humidity. So
through that journey, you know, that kind of ties in your agriculture and your family and, you know, how those kind of just really built themselves together. But why is the advocacy piece of it so important for you?
Well, as I started getting, you know, involved in the farm and then, you know, working as we do with multi-generations and, you know, seeing how hard my in-laws worked and, you know, what all they started, and, you know, you could just see the legacy happening right before your eyes. I love that I knew great-grandpa Kerr, who started dairy farming in 1927. We had a great relationship. He was such a fun, funny guy. And then Bill's folks, and Bill and I, now we see our son and our daughters, and now we have grandchildren working hard on the farm. They can attest to that. And realizing that it wouldn't take much, a change in policy here, a tweak there, that could really regulate us out of business. And so starting to recognize that, and especially as I got into leadership with first beginning with Maricopa County Farm Bureau, then different ways of interacting with United Dairymen, it just started really growing in me, especially when we would go visit our state elected officials, our representatives and senators, and then going to DC was just amazing. First of all, that we live in such an incredible country that we have access to our elected officials that way, and that we can sit down and talk face-to-face, and that Farm Bureau provides that platform and that training, and they would, you know, give us the issues beforehand, like we're going to talk to this senator about that, we're going to talk to this representative about this and that. And so then being challenged to put it, you know, how would this affect us on our farm? And then tell your story, and having those opportunities was just amazing and really ignited something in me. And not even for me, I really thought, gosh, we gotta get farmers and ranchers on the other side of those desks that are making those decisions. And, you know, never for a moment thinking it would be me. I just knew we needed some actual producers in those positions to make those decisions. So that's how it started for me, and in realizing how important, how crucial it was and what an impact it made for us to keep growing the food and fiber to feed our state and our nation and the world beyond. So.
I know when I first moved to Arizona, I kind of dove headfirst into the Farm Bureau group here in Arizona, and it really provided a lot of opportunities for me. But I would see you at events and hear you speak, and I just thought to myself, I know I'm just as passionate, but I don't know how I could ever be that confident speaking about the subjects. And, you know, you are so very good at putting your thoughts into words eloquently. How did you gain that confidence to be able to speak in front of not only groups of, you know, your fellow farmers and ranchers, but on the Senate floor, you know, in those type of more high-tense situations?
Well, I'm glad you think that I have that confidence, because I get nervous all the time and I don't always feel really confident. But I remind myself that what I need to say, what I need to share is greater than me. It's not about me. It's about amplifying our message, our story. And so I make myself just push aside the fear, the lack of confidence, and say, you know what, you just have to get the message out there, because it's that important. And so after you do it several times, I mean, I still am nervous right now. You still get nervous, but that's good, because in that, I think, brings out, you know, more focus. And so I try to channel that in a positive way, and it makes me study a little bit more and try to be more prepared as I'm getting ready to speak to a group.
Were you always outspoken, or were you maybe more softer spoken and you had to work to find that voice?
I had to work at it, yeah. I'll sit back and listen. I still do that when I'm, you know, in a large group and I'm not the one, you know, needing to deliver a message of any type at that time. But I sit back, I like to listen, think, absorb, kind of just watch everything. And so I'm a little more reserved.
I think as farmers and ranchers and agriculturalists, you kind of always find yourself sitting back and observing and just seeing how it's going to play out before you can really make like a plan of how you're going to articulate, you know, what it is that you need to say. I think oftentimes a lot of people don't feel the need to speak up on things if they don't have an established platform already. Well, you know, I'm just so-and-so farmer from, you know, middle of nowhere, Arizona. What could my voice really mean? But it seems a lot of times those are the most impactful voices. So, you know, how do we think about encouraging those that maybe have thought about it but aren't sure, or aren't sure that their voice would really be effective? You know, how do we keep encouraging that next generation of voices and leaders in agriculture to step up and share their story and speak out?
I would just say, you know, first of all, when opportunities arise, no matter where you're at, if you're at the grocery store, if you're just riding in an Uber, you know, taxi or whatever, visiting with your neighbors, just share. You know, share from your heart when opportunities arise. And then also take opportunities to participate in leadership programs. And that's where I found the most help was, you know, it really tough to do. I knew Maricopa County had some leadership experiences and opportunities to do like public speaking. The state did as well. And then, you know, at the national level, I know many of you have gone through the boot camp, the Women's Leadership Boot Camp at American Farm Bureau. That was rough because they would film you and then critique you in front of you. They didn't hold back. And so it was really helpful because it allowed you then to see, oh, okay, I should do this differently or that, kind of hone in your skill. But you don't even need to do all of that. It's just sharing from your heart what you know. I remember somebody saying that we're all experts in some area, and I thought, I'm not too sure about that, but you really are. In your operation, nobody knows your operation like you do. You have a lot to share. You are an expert in that area, and share it and have that confidence in it. And you'll be surprised at how it opens up avenues of conversation and more opportunities then to share your story.
I think you just have to say yes. And, you know, it's your passion rings through, you know, whatever it is when you're speaking on that subject, you know, and especially when it's your own operation. People can clearly see that passion and that drive that you have and that dedication to, you know, whatever it is that you're speaking on. And I think I concur that if you just say yes and take those opportunities, you kind of never know where you end up. You might end up on the Senate floor.
Never know.
So diving a little bit into kind of your current updates of the days, kind of from that Senate floor transition to the FSA, what's been the largest piece of adjustment for you from between those roles?
Well, they're vastly different from each other. And that's good, you know, it's a totally different position, but I sure rely on what I learned in the Senate, and then now being in this position, which is, it's a political appointment, it's a presidential appointment, and so it's totally different. When I speak officially as the FSA state director, I'm conveying the message, the vision, the priorities of the administration and the secretary. So that's really different, because as an elected, then we have our own platform, and you know, you stick your foot in your mouth, you know, you're doing it to yourself, and you own that. But so you're a lot more careful because you have this incredible honor and opportunity to represent the administration and the secretary. And so I'm loving it, and I would say a different kind of pressure. But like I always try to remind people, any type of pressure is a privilege, and I'm super grateful to have this opportunity.
That's such a fantastic statement. You know, we think about on the days where it's really hard, you know, it really is a privilege to have those hard days and to be able to, you know, work through this like that. I love that. For those that maybe don't know, what is the FSA, Farm Service Agency? What is it? What do they do? And maybe a little bit of, you know, what does that look like for you as a director?
Yeah, so Farm Service Agency, you know, we provide, I want to say, a lot of assistance and help to our farmers and ranchers. I say we're here to keep our farmers and ranchers in business. And that not only provides food security for Arizona and the nation and the world beyond, but also economic security for our rural areas that depend on our ag communities to be successful. And so we have different types of programs. We have, you know, disaster assistant type of programs. We have economic assistance when the markets are crazy, like we know that they can be. And then we also have provide loans as well. And so it's been exciting to learn the different programs that we have. I just knew like a couple. I have no idea the vast amount that we have. It really is super exciting. You all, many of you, will know the programs way better than I do at this point. And I'm studying every day, trying to get them all down. One of the biggest challenges is, I say, learning the alphabet, because everything's an acronym. And I'll be on a Teams meeting, and I literally have my notebook open so I can translate what they're saying, what they're talking about. So, but it's incredible what we offer, and make sure that we get that information out to our producers so they know that there could be some assistance available when needed, and really grateful to be able to provide, you know, that safety net when our farmers and ranchers need it the most.
It's almost like, you know, maybe the farmers and ranchers maybe don't know that there's solutions for some issues that they may have. Is that something that you would encourage them to just reach out and say, hey, I have this issue, or I have this need? Is there a solution within FSA?
Yes, and I think it was Haley on the last panel that mentioned, you know, the real magic really happens at the local level. And the cool thing about Farm Service Agency is we're the only federal agency that has county employees. And so we have 8 offices statewide, about 30 employees altogether. And so we encourage everyone, it starts at the local level, and I love that. And those employees, those staffers, they're the front-facing, they're the first ones that those producers see and meet, and they're the ones that engage with them, find out what their need is, and see if there's something available for them, and they assist them through the process. It's really incredible how it works. I really love that. And so, yeah, I encourage everyone, because I get a lot of phone calls directly, which I'm so grateful for that. The staff in the state office will say, they called you directly. I said, well, yeah, they're my friends, I know them, you know. And then I steer them, you know, to the county office and get them going there. But it's really awesome how it works.
Having that local contact, I think, is really important, especially within agriculture.
Yes.
We're very face-to-face kind of people. And to be able to, you know, pick up the phone and talk to an actual person on the phone, or walk into the office and have that conversation, that has a lot of weight and, you know, meaning behind what you guys are doing.
They have that local knowledge of the area, so they can relate. And they need to run out to the farm and check something, they can do that as well to the different ranches. I love how we're structured that way.
I think especially in a state like Arizona that is so incredibly diverse from top to bottom and east to west.
Absolutely.
Having that local knowledge and just being there is a critical component, I think, to what you guys are doing.
Yes.
Are there certain programs that you have that you've maybe identified that are going to be really impactful for Arizona specifically?
Yeah, so as I was studying, and like I said, like every day I take out my...
This is your quiz.
My notes, and, you know, I was trying to study the alphabet and the different programs. But so I called in our farm program chief, and I said, you know, what would you think? Which program is most impactful? And I thought his answer is really good. Well, they all are, you know, at one time or another. But the most widely used, I would say, over the last few years is the livestock forage program, the LFP, livestock forage disaster program. It doesn't have a D in it. And so, anyway, so LFP, and so a lot of you would be familiar with that program, and so that seems to be the one that's most broadly used, but at different times, like some of our market-based programs, if market takes a real dive or whatever, that one might be the one that's most widely used that year. So it just depends on the triggers, on what triggers the different programs.
Good to know. What do you think the future for Arizona FSA looks like? It's very broad.
I think it's very bright. We have a very bright future, and it's always changing and evolving. What I love the most about working for this administration, they really care about listening and hearing from the producers. They ask us, I get to kind of serve as that liaison between the producers and the national office, the secretary's office, and it's really incredible. It's such a blessing and such an honor to get to do that. But they really want to know what's working, what isn't working, what could we do better? And I always ask for feedback as I'm getting out and visiting the different county offices. So far, I've been to 4, and so I'll be at a county office near you soon. Finish the rest of them. But I love that interaction because the county committees are made up of the producers. And so, you know, I get to hear from them, and they're so knowledgeable and are teaching me so much. So I think we have a very bright future ahead.
Sounds like it's very grassroots. It sounds very familiar.
Yes. You know, I have to say that when President Lincoln established the Department of Agriculture in 1862 during the Civil War, and he called it the People's Department. And I just love that because it really is. It's very, very people and relationship oriented. And so I love that back then, from 1862 to 2025, it's still the same. It is the People's Department.
Throughout all of the technological changes that we have and the advancements that we see, I think that's one thing that holds steady. And I think will through, you know, the entirety of the future of agriculture, just because, you know, we as an industry, I think we're very passionate about what we're doing and having the connections with these organizations that are there in support of agriculture is a critical piece. And it's really good to see, even from my outside perspective, really, to see that relationship and how it's built between producer and organization. I would just say, is there anything that you would like to add, maybe about FSA or, you know, what anything of current times?
I think what I would just encourage everyone, you know, we started to touch on a little bit, but when we're sharing our story and thinking, you know, am I really being effective here or not, you know, or it's just one person, is it really going to matter? It does matter. I just want to reiterate that it doesn't matter if it's one person or a larger audience. It really does matter, and I just wanted to share a quick story. You know, I was taking an Uber and landed in Vegas. I had a water meeting to go to, and I was with my deputy chief from the Senate. And so we get in the Uber, and he said, "Hey, where are you guys going? What are you doing?" And, you know, "Well, we're heading to a water conference." And the first thing he says is, "Well, I'll tell you what, Arizona needs to stop growing alfalfa and wasting all that water."
Oh, God.
So my deputy chief looks at me, and I took a deep breath, and I really stayed calm. That's a big challenge for me, because I can feel my heart racing, and I start getting all, you know, shaky and ready just stay calm. So I just started telling him about the great things about alfalfa. And, you know, how water efficient alfalfa is, a nutritional value, why we need it. And then I said to him, "Hey, do you know you're a secondary consumer of alfalfa?" He's like, "What?" He was trying to drive. I said, "Yeah, you know, think of all, I started naming all the food that we get from alfalfa." And then he just kind of got quiet. He's probably thinking, "I don't want to ask her anything else or say." Then later he said, "You know, I've never ever heard of the positive side of alfalfa and how beneficial it is." And so, you know, just something little like that. And so I'm hoping he told people about that. And I thought, darn, I wished I had a "I love alfalfa" t-shirt to give him. I think he would have worn it. And so, you know, it really does matter. I just want to encourage everyone to continue. I know so many of you are already such great champions and leaders in that way, but keep it up, and we can't overuse our voice when it comes to amplifying what we do. And it seems like more and more, you know, the challenges trying to battle misinformation and all of that, and making sure that, you know, we get the truth out there, because people really do want to know, they really do listen. So it's critical.
And I feel, because I can feel it, say when you say that, you know, it hits you and your heart starts racing. And as people that are so passionate about what we're doing, like, it's hard to kind of stop that in its tracks and say, okay, well, let's have this productive conversation. And a lot of times it almost feels like we're thinking of this rebuttal, like we're listening to respond and not listening to listen. Because a lot of times we do have a lot of common ground with those that are on the opposite side of the table. And so when you take that time and just share, again, just sharing the story, I think is the most important piece when you're having those conversations. And instead of maybe your face turns bright red and the smoke starts coming out of your ears, just giving some facts and telling the story. And I think from someone who's kind of on the marketing side and you see, you know, kind of what's out there, people are just craving the connection and the stories. And that's something that we as agriculturalists have tenfold. You know, so I think what you say about just sharing your story and don't be scared to do it, it's such a critical piece to using your voice.
Well,
thank you so much. I want to open it up. I think we have some time for questions.
Well, Tina, your resume speaks for itself, and you've done so much for the agriculture community. I'm just wondering if there is a moment that you replay that you consider the most rewarding moment during everything that you've done for agriculture. Is there something that you replay that really makes you smile and your heart burst with happiness as a rewarding moment? You know, it happened a few times when you're working so hard on, you know, going back to my time in the Senate, you know, you're working on a piece of legislation and you're working so hard with the stakeholders and you've got them in and, you know, you are just really putting something together that you know if it gets implemented the way we all intend it to, that it will be really impactful. And so those have been the moments that were so rewarding. I even still, I'll hear someone talk, well, this and this policy changed, and I'll think, oh, you know, I helped that a little bit. And it just, that's really rewarding, is knowing that you just helped make something better, easier, more efficient, more beneficial to our producers.
Hello.
Hi there.
So very excited to have you in your new role. Brinton Colburn, Foothills Bank. And Foothills, I moved there about 6 years ago because we are a certified lender with FSA, or a preferred lender, which is great. So I moved to Foothills intentionally because I wanted to help farmers and ranchers take advantage of the different FSA programs out there. What things or changes do you see for the better that we can expect for FSA now that you're there and in this role? Because they've been hit hard with DOGE and other things like that. And Fred is doing an amazing job, but I know he's running on a skeleton crew. So when you got this appointment, I was super excited. So what things can we look forward to with FSA and you in your new role?
Thank you. So really what I get to do is implement what comes down from the Secretary's office, even through the administration. And so it's just making sure that those priorities, those policies get implemented. And I know a real priority is to be more efficient, get things done, get loans completed, and get those funds to the producer as quickly as possible. So I think those types of things are really going to be helpful. And, you know, in getting these programs rolled out as smoothly as we can, more efficiently. And so we're already seeing that with the ECAP, the Emergency Commodity Assistance Program. Thank you. And so we saw that that program was, what there was like pre-filled applications and, you know, just made it easier and quicker for our farmers and ranchers to utilize that program. But I think efficiency and even better stepped up customer service. They're already great. You all look real familiar with, most of you, you're familiar with your county offices, your county staff. And so I just want to make sure that from our office that they have the tools that they need to, you know, do what they can to improve that service to the producers.
Do you ever have an opportunity with that interaction with the administration to give feedback in terms of, is this program working in your state? Why isn't it working in your state? Or do you have enough people to implement? Because a lot of people think efficiency comes when you cut people. Sometimes efficiency comes when you give agencies the people that they need. So do you have that opportunity to have that interaction, or is it sort of just like, this is what we're gonna do and you have to make it work?
You know, a lot of, they're very open. I can send an email anytime, every day, and either ask for clarification on something or requesting, you know, saying, I see a problem here, what are your thoughts, what can we do, that type of thing. So, you know, they're very accessible and, again, real open to hear the feedback that I'm hearing out from the producers. So I'm excited about that.
I just wanted to say thank you, guilty as charged, for calling you on your own phone number. But thank you for taking that and being responsive and finding out about the Wolf Program payments. And excited that it's gotten increased from 75 to 100% in the big, beautiful bill. So that's, I'm sure you'll be getting more work on the LIP program. But
awesome.
I just wanted to say thanks for being responsive and looking forward to working with you. So.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that very much. Yeah, I've been working with Sonia and so many of you, you know, for so many years, and really appreciate those relationships. It really means so much, and the mentorship and just what you all have taught me and keep teaching me. And that's really awesome, because I'm here in this position, but I never want to ever in any position feel like, oh yeah, I've got all the answers. I know all the answers. I don't. But I keep learning and learning, and a lot of that I credit to you all. So thank you all so much for how you've helped me a lot and supported me, and I'm here for you, and I know we're all here for each other. So thank you.
Thank you for tuning in today, and remember, Farm Bureau has a place for you. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with your friends on socials. You can also visit our website, MaricopaCountyFB.org, for more information and to submit a topic you want to learn about. Remember to tune in every Wednesday wherever you listen to podcasts. A huge thank you to Paloma Ready Mix and Materials for supporting our agriculture producers and this podcast. Maricopa County Farm Bureau, bringing you the stories of real families, real farms, and real food. I'm Nicole Clements, signing off. Catch you next week.